Hey y'all, this is Epiphany and welcome to Voice and Vine, a quiet space for the word to grow in you. Come and join me. I've been learning about agriculture here recently, both in the classroom and with my hands in the soil and YouTube University. Can't forget about them. And, you know, the more I've been learning, the more I've been in awe of God's creation. Now, it's one thing to read about Genesis and know that God placed humanity in a garden to steward his creation, but it's a whole other thing entirely to see firsthand just how intricate the systems he set up to sustain life. And when you really take the time to understand how plants grow, how ecosystems work, and how food makes its way from seed to harvest, you really start to see and appreciate the fingerprint of God, like everywhere. It's a glimpse into his brilliance, his creativity, that same creativity that's in us, that's in you, that's in me, in his unmatched design. And Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands." That's general revelation. The way we encounter God in the world as it is through creation, the natural order, the rising and setting of the sun, and the whisper of the wind in the trees. But then there's something even better, and that's special revelation, which is much more personal, and it's those direct, intimate ways God reveals himself to us, whether through his word, his spirit, or just those quiet moments we spend with him in which he provides clarity when we're paying attention. So for me, learning about plants has been kind of a general revelation that has led to spiritual revelation, a deeper understanding of who God is and how he works. And so as I'm, you know, reflecting on, you know, things I've been learning, and it kind of helped me answer a question that I've heard people ask, you know, skeptics, when they ask, well, what about the people who've never heard the gospel or who've never read the Bible? Are they going to hell, you know, because they don't know? And spending time in the soil has really helped me answer that. Watching a documentary on Angel Studios called Lunatic Farmer. It's about Joel Salatin. I encourage you to watch it. He's a Christian regenerative farmer. And he was just talking about the millions of species in the soil alone that scientists haven't been able to name or even truly discover what they are just yet. That speaks to the kind of vast, intricate creativity our God has. If he can be that meticulous with dirt, how much more can he make himself known to every person on this earth, even those without direct access to his word? Romans 1:20 says, "For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse." So, I believe he can, and he does. Through general revelation, leading people to seek him opened the door to special revelation. So that's really the heart behind this reflection. Looking at the six parts of a plant as a way to understand our spiritual growth, I've come to see and understand how the structure of a plant from its roots to its seeds, it's almost like it's a beautiful metaphor for the life of a believer. So we're going to break it down together. I'm going to name the part of the plant, what I interpret that plant part to be in our lives, right? And then we're going to talk about its function as it is naturally. And then we're going to talk about the spiritual parallels. And I'm going to give you some scripture and we're going to reflect on it. Okay, so we're going to first start with the roots, and I'm going to say these in order. Roots, stems, leaves, flower, fruits, and seeds. That's the way plants grow. So think of like a tomato plant or any other plant you may have grown, or, you know, fruit or anything like that. So let's start with the roots. And I see the roots as our anchor in Christ. Now, in nature, their function is to absorb water and nutrients, store food, anchor the plant. The spiritual parallel to me is God is our anchor, Jesus as the living water, and the Holy Spirit as our spiritual fertilizer. So the scripture here is, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its root out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. That's Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. So let's reflect on that. The depth and health of our roots determine the quality of our fruit. Just like shallow roots limit growth, a shallow relationship with God stunts spiritual maturity. We choose how deep our roots go by spending time in prayer, scripture, and relationship with him. Shallow, surface-level faith won't sustain us when the winds of life blow, but deep roots, a deep personal relationship with God, will hold us firm. And like a plant in rich, well-fed soil, a believer rooted in the word will draw up life, strength, and nourishment daily. So then we move on to the stems, and that is the unchanging word. Now, in nature, the function of stems is to support the plant, transport water, and nutrients. The spiritual parallel that I've drawing here is the word of God as our support. The unchanging truth that sustains us is what keeps us strong in the face of life's storms. Scripture says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. That's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Without the word, we cut off the essential flow of truth, hope, and wisdom that we need to stand firm. This is our backbone, our support structure. Just as a plant without a stem collapses, a believer without the word will struggle to stand in the trials of life. The word transports the living water of Christ into every part of our spiritual being, keeping us healthy and growing. When we read the word, we're getting the spiritual nutrients we need to stand tall, even in hard seasons. A lot like the roots, you know. Now, the third thing is leaves, and I liken it to our environment and our community. Now, the leaves' function in nature is photosynthesis, capturing light and converting it to energy. The spiritual parallel that I drew is almost like leaves represent our community and the influences around us, pretty much everything we take in. Just as the leaves reveal the health of a plant, our relationships reveal the health of our walk. Scripture says, do not be deceived, for bad company corrupts good morals. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. So the reflection. Are we surrounding ourselves with people who sharpen and encourage us, as in Proverbs 27:17? Or are we absorbing toxic influences? Sometimes we need to prune our leaves. And you know about that. If you've grown any type of plants with foliage, you know sometimes you have to prune, cut off what's dead, okay? Sometimes we need to prune our leaves, cutting off unhealthy relationships or influences that drain our spiritual vitality. Just as disease or pests on leaves can weaken a plant, negative influences can drain our spiritual life. It matters what we allow into our minds, hearts, and spirits. So let's talk about flowers. And I think of it as like our witness and purpose. And so in nature, the flower of a plant, before I started growing food, I didn't even realize that, like, you know, a tomato plant, for example, there's the flower first and the fruit comes from the flower. And when you're a person who's never grown fruit, you think of flowers as just like, oh, these pretty little things you get for, you know, Mother's Day. And, you know, they're just I don't know, like as if that's the end result. I did not realize even in growing food, a fruit like a tomato, the flower comes first and then you have the fruit and the seeds, which we'll talk about. But anyway, so just if you're like me, change your thinking about it and we'll move forward. So in nature, the flower's function is reproduction and attracting pollinators. So the spiritual parallel that I've drawn from this is that flowers symbolize our witness and purpose. So just as flowers attract bees and butterflies, we are meant to draw others to Christ, reproducing faith through discipleship. Scripture says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That is Matthew 28:19. So reflecting on that, are we living in a way that attracts others to the beauty of the gospel, or are we repelling them with a lack of grace and truth? Flowers are the visible testimony of a healthy, rooted life. They're what people see first. And just like a beautiful bloom can draw others in, our lives should draw others to Christ. So let's talk about the fruit, which is the evidence of our walk. That's how I see it. So in nature, fruits, the function of the fruit really is to protect the seed and aid in seed dispersal. So the spiritual parallel here is fruit reflects the outcome of a mature faith. And it's as simple as, are we bearing the fruits of the Spirit, or is the fruit bitter, small, or absent altogether? Scripture says, you'll recognize them by their fruit. That's Matthew 7:16. So reflecting on this, it's almost like fruit is the ultimate test. It's the outcome of all the previous stages, all the work we've done. If you've ever grown fruit, you got to have the right, you know, soil so you can get healthy roots and make sure it's in the right conditions. And, you know, stems will tell you a lot about whether it's, you know, seeking nutrients. They may be thin. They may be leggy. They may be, you know, very firm. And then the leaves will tell you a lot about the health of the plant and what's to come. And you can kind of change things and change the direction that you're going just by pruning dead leaves. And they send you signs of what you could do to the soil and amend it to make them better, right? And then you have flowers. That's the hope. You get flowers, and those flowers will produce fruit, right? So all the work up until that point is really evidenced by the fruit that you produce. Healthy roots, strong stems, vibrant leaves, and purposeful flowers lead to good fruit. But we can't fake this. Like, if you didn't get all that other stuff right, it is going to show up here, okay? We cannot fake this part of our lives, because real fruit comes from a real relationship with God. So lastly, let's talk about seeds. And I think of seeds as legacy and multiplication. Now, in nature, seeds contain the potential for new life. Keyword, potential, right? So that means there's something that we have to do to kind of activate that potential as believers. The spiritual parallel here I see is that seeds represent the impact we leave behind, the legacy of faith we plant in others. They hold the potential for multiplication, for new life, for the continuation of God's work through us. Scripture says, truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. That's John 12:24. So my reflection here is seeds are small, often overlooked, but they carry within them the blueprint of an entire forest, a future harvest, a living legacy. They hold the potential to produce much more fruit than their size suggests, reflecting the power of a single life yielded and surrendered to God. Just like Jesus used the parable of the sower to utilize the importance of the to illustrate the importance of the condition of our hearts, Matthew 13:3-9, we see that there. We have to consider the soil we're planting in, our relationships, our communities, the next generation, Are we planting seeds of faith, love, and truth? Or are we letting seeds and thorns choke out the potential God has placed within us? Matthew 13:8 says, still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Seeds are also a reminder that our impact isn't always immediate. You may have to wait, y'all. We may not always see the fruit of the seeds we plant, but that doesn't mean that our work is in vain. Some seeds take years to bear fruit. Just think about fruit trees. If you've never grown a fruit tree, look up how long it takes to bear fruit, okay? Some seeds take years to bear fruit, and when they do, they multiply far beyond their humble beginnings. In the same way, the prayers we pray, the lives we touch, and the disciples we make can have a ripple effect for generations to come. So what seeds are we planting? Are we investing in others, discipling, and building a legacy of faith that will outlast us? Seeds don't just produce more seeds. They produce entire harvests, and that's the kind of legacy we should be pursuing. So I want to close us out in prayer. Father God, thank you for being our firm foundation, the anchor for our roots. Help us to be deeply rooted in your love, drawing our strength and nourishment from your living water and the counsel of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let our stems be strong, grounded in the unchanging truth of your word, supporting us as we face life's challenges. Help us to surround ourselves with a healthy community, to guard our hearts and minds like the leaves that both protect and reveal the health of a plant. Give us the discernment to prune what no longer serves us and to seek relationships that reflect your light. May our lives be like flowers that draw others to you, reflecting your goodness and producing good fruit in every season. Let our actions, words, and choices bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, help us to plant seeds of faith that will leave a lasting legacy, multiplying your kingdom for generations to come. May the impact of our lives ripple outward, producing harvests we may never see, but that bring glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. You've been listening to Voice and Vine. As you go, may the vine keep you, and may his voice grow something new in you. Brothers and sisters, until next time, abide, speak, bear fruit.